up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 131. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about the adverse outcomes of calcium administration in critically ill patients, answer the drug information question, what dose of sulfamethoxazole trimethoprim should be used to treat stenotrophomonas in a super morbidly obese patient, and share a resource I've used to convert heparin protocols to anti-10A monitoring. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode131. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The article I'll be discussing today is titled, Calcium Administration is Associated with Adverse Outcomes in Critically Ill Patients Receiving Parenteral Nutrition, Results from a Natural Experiment Created by a Calcium Gluconate Shortage. The lead author is Brian Dotson, and this was published in Pharmacotherapy Early Access, October 2016. In episode 73, I discussed a review article in the CHEST journal that argued against the routine replacement of calcium in critically ill patients. The crux of the argument was the lack of benefit for routine calcium replacement. But what if routine calcium replacement is harmful? This would provide a stronger argument for de-adoption of routine calcium replacement. The routine nature of calcium replacement makes it difficult to study interventions that lead to no calcium replacement at all. However, the IV calcium shortage of 2013 provided an opportunity for researchers to examine the differences in outcomes with and without liberal replacement of calcium. The author sought to determine the association between calcium administration and adverse outcomes in adult critically ill patients receiving parenteral nutrition. The study was a retrospective cohort of patients before and during a calcium gluconate shortage in three teaching hospitals. During the period of the shortage, calcium was removed from parenteral nutrition. IV calcium supplementation outside of parenteral nutrition was allowed. Based on the amount of calcium received, patients were divided into quartiles. The authors measured in-hospital mortality, acute respiratory failure, new onset shock, and a composite of any one of these endpoints. For the group of patients not on mechanical ventilation or vasoactive support when parenteral nutrition was started, calcium administration was significantly associated with an increase in the odds of mortality, respiratory failure, new onset shock, and the composite endpoint. Importantly, the authors found that there was a dose-response relationship. As the dose of calcium increased, so did the likelihood of an adverse event. The authors concluded, calcium administration correlated with adverse outcomes in critically ill patients receiving parenteral nutrition. The data suggests that administration of parenteral calcium to critically ill patients may be harmful. Although the study had a limited sample size and was retrospective in nature, the dose-response relationship does provide added weight to the conclusion that calcium replacement correlates with patient harm. Whenever I evaluate a potential therapy for a patient, I consider the following factors: efficacy, safety, and cost. It would appear that routine calcium replacement is ineffective, potentially unsafe, and although it's not expensive, it's certainly not free. The drug information question for this episode is, what dose of sulfamethoxazole trimethoprim should be used to treat stenotrophomonas infection in a super morbidly obese patient? My answer is, no one knows. In general, sulfamethoxazole trimethoprim should be dosed based on actual body weight, but the dose of trimethoprim to treat stenotrophomonas is 5 milligrams per kilo every 8 hours. In a morbidly obese patient weighing 200 kilos, this would result in a massive amount of sulfamethoxazole trimethoprim, the equivalent of almost 20 Bactrim DS tablets per day. Unfortunately, very limited data is available on the impact of critical illness on the volume and distribution of sulfamethoxazole or trimethoprim. For this reason, a general dose recommendation in morbid obesity cannot be made. Instead, a patient-specific decision on the dose of sulfamethoxazole trimethoprim must be made, and the response to treatment, both for efficacy and side effects, should be closely monitored. The resource I'd like to share on this episode is the book, ASHP's Safety and Quality Pearls 2. I've recently used this book to help transition protocols for heparin from PTT to anti-10A monitoring. The book provides information on very specific initiatives that other facilities have implemented with a measure of success. You can find a link to the book in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode131. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I'll receive a small commission from Amazon. Just bookmark and use the link pharmacyjoe.com/shop to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.